Well, let's go to the Lord one more time here as we get into the message here this morning. Father, we're just very thankful that we have here before us in written form your word. And we recognize it as, yes, it's been written by men, but we know, as the scripture tells us, that these were men inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we know that what we have here are the very words of God, though they be penned by men. And so, Lord, we just want to, even now, just want to proclaim to you that we want to submit ourselves to it. We want to put ourselves under it and say that this is everything you've written in this book is for our good. Everything. Not one thing is not for our benefit. And so, Lord, we welcome your word. And we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us individually and how you might have us apply it. Lord, I also just want to lift up just all the homes in our community here. We pray, Lord, that you would make our church just a light in this area. Lord, we pray that that you would help us even to discern, Lord, how you might want to use us more and more. We pray, Lord, that every household that's a part of our church here, that wherever they live, Lord, would just be an outpost for Jesus, and that we would let our light shine there, let the love of Christ move us out of our comfort zone and into other people's lives that need to know you and need to know and experience your love through your people. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. God's got a plan. It's good because it's a lot better than the one I'd have. God has a plan. Well, what a plan for? He's got lots of plans, but the plan for how he's going to continue the church on throughout the years. You know, you think about this. Pastors, as they get older, have to think about succession. You know, who's gonna replace me? You know, and so on. But God's got a plan about how he's going to keep the church going. How he's going to fill the funnel with leaders. And there are some attitudes that have to be had if we're going to follow his plan. And so when we look at this passage today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to find out about God's plan, and we're also going to find out about three attitudes that he's going to convey to us, and those attitudes will help us really stay the course. Okay, so we're going to see a little bit about God's plan, the how he wants the church to continue and how it's supposed to continue on and on throughout the generations. And then we're going to see three attitudes that will help us endure. Okay? All right, so we'll take a look at the scriptures here. And let's go ahead, we'll read this passage. What I'm seeing is not what you're seeing, so never mind. I thought I had control, but I don't. This is the way God works. I don't have any control. Oh, now I can see it. Thank you. Sorry. All right, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for when they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Isn't that last verse interesting? Like, you know, it's not something that you would I don't know, that I would expect to read in the Bible, where Paul says, Timothy, now think about what I'm writing to you, and the Lord will help give you understanding. That's a great thing to pray every time you approach your Bible, isn't it? Lord, help me to understand what you're trying to say. And it also is a challenge to think deeply about the things of God, right? Is that some, you know, it's just like, in a sense, you know, if you're mining for gold, it's just not laying out on the surface, right? You got to go down deep and dig for the nuggets, right? And so, and many times it's that way with the Word of God, is that he wants us to think about how, you know, the words fit together, how the sentences fit together, how the entire letters, like this is a letter written to Timothy, fit together. And so that last verse is just a good reminder that God wants us to really examine the Scriptures, study it, dig into it, right? Don't just go to somebody else's ideas about the passage, right? Sometimes, you know, because we have so many wonderful resources available to us now as Christians, right? And that's wonderful. Lots of commentaries that are available for free online and all this stuff, that we go to those and we believe someone else's thoughts about what it says rather than what maybe we need to get out of it, right? And how we need to dig into the Scriptures. So I just want to encourage you with that, as Paul encouraged Timothy to think about these things. But what are we going to do here when it comes to guarding the gospel? Because the last message we did on 2 Timothy was basically about that idea that the gospel message was, in a sense, being passed off to Timothy from Paul, because he's writing this letter from prison. This will be his last letter we're going to see, right? He's going to be killed after this. And so Paul has a sense that this is going to be it. So he's giving these last instructions to his son in the faith, the person he's poured his life into. And so he realizes that this is really a race that has to be run. And this race has some rules to it, and it's going to take some endurance. Now, unlike the 100-meter race that you're looking at right behind me, does anybody know who's in that picture? Usain Bolt's in there. He lost the 100 meters in his last 100-meter race to a guy from the U.S., and you can see it just by a foot, right, literally. And so, you know, it's a race we're running. You know, Paul used that metaphor of the Christian life. We're following Jesus. If you know Christ, you're following him. We're running a race, each of us running our own race, in effect. And, you know, that's the way God deals with us as individuals, as well as the church body, but as individuals, right? And so Paul has a plan, though, for us running this race, and he has a plan for us to guard the gospel. And that's really, I am not in sync. Okay, so what is the plan for guarding the gospel? Because if we're supposed to guard the gospel, how are we going to do that? And so the very first thing he points out to us here is, in order to remain true to God's gospel, we need to keep on being empowered by God. Where are we getting this from? And you'll notice every one of these points has a verse attached to it, because you need to know that this is just not somebody's nice idea. He says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul's telling Timothy, you know, if you're going to actually be able to carry out the instructions that's going to perpetuate the church until I come back, if you're going to do this, you're going to require some power. Okay, and it's not going to come from you. You see, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, right? Well, when I looked at this, in my Bible software, it tells me what the tense, voice, and mood are of every word in the Greek. This is in the passive voice, which means it's something being done to me, not something that I'm doing. It's in the present tense, which means it's something that's continually happening. So you put those two together, you realize that what he's telling Timothy is to continually be strengthened and allow God to strengthen you. So it's not something that Timothy himself can kind of like conjure up. I'm just going to buckle down. I'm going to pull up my bootstraps. You know, whatever metaphor you want to put up, whatever phrase where it means you're doing it, right? No, this is saying you need to put yourself in a position so that you're going to be strengthened by the grace of God. Now, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we talked about saving grace. Well, this is not saving grace. This is grace to live by, okay? This is the continual grace that we receive by God to do, to live the Christian life. You know, it's not this that we're saved by grace and that we live out by the gut, you know? No, it's grace, 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 okay? Period. And so if you and I are going to live out the calling which he has for each one of us, as well as the charge that he gives to Timothy and to the church, okay? If we're going to do that, then you're going to need, and I'm going to need, to be empowered by God. And we're going to have to be strong that's in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. There's some other places in the scriptures where this comes out. Let me just use my Bible here real quick. I'm going to look up a couple of verses. Ephesians 6. Find your way to Ephesians 6. And I'm going to scroll down to verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul again. So the same person that's writing the letter to Timothy that we're looking at also wrote this, right? And it says, it's Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in your own ability. Oh, no, that's not what the Bible says. Sorry. That's good. He, you know, Cam's being a Berean. He's making sure that the Bible is saying what I'm saying. And no, it says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Again, he's leaning it on Jesus. He's saying we need to lean into the Lord and find our strength in him. Right? And then he goes on and gives instructions on putting on the armor of God and how that's a means that we're supposed to live out our Christian lives. So we're not going to take time to unpack all that today, but I'm just pointing out different places where he has said a similar thing. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Another passage that might be familiar is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Where it says, I can do some things. Oh, I could do all things through him who strengthens me. Isn't that great? Love those verses that say all. It's just like, you know, it's like I got a blank check here, Lord. All things. I can do all things. So if you are, and we all run into this, where we doubt, can I really do what God's calling me to do? Can I really do? I don't think I can do this. Hey, that's not the Lord speaking to you, okay? No, because he's saying, no, if God's calling you to do something, if he's burdening your heart to do something for him, no, he's going to totally resource that. He's going to totally empower you to do it, okay? Totally empower you to do it. I might get some of the details of this mess up, but I'm sure Charlie can clarify it when he's back on the scene next week. You know, his daughter, Cammie, got married last evening. But, and some of you guys, I think, might know some of the details. But my understanding, a couple of years ago, when the folks went to LT, we joined up with the Linworth crowd to take a bus out there. And there was a bus driver there. Well, there's a bus driver. So, gee, I must have a master's degree in something. I don't know. Wow, okay. And so the bus driver, at some point in the trip, on the whole thing, you know, Cammie was having trouble with seizures. Some of you may remember this. So Charlie's daughter, Cammie, having trouble with seizures. And so the bus driver felt burdened to pray for her, but felt very awkward about trying to initiate anything like that because he doesn't know who this person really is, but stepped out of his comfort zone and prayed for her. And her seizures stopped for some time. And I bring up that story. Do I have the story right? Okay, good. Well, thank God. All right. So I don't have to print a retraction or something. So I bring that up because here's this guy. God's burdening him to do something, right? And he steps out, and the power comes. I just love that. You know, God empowers what he calls us to do. So that should encourage us, right? That's a grace of God. And so when we are living out our faith and we are doing the things that God calls us to do, and specifically he's got some things he's telling Timothy to do, he's like, you're going to have to be strong in my grace. You're going to have to be a guy who learns to lean on me. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start off at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 15, 9. He says, Paul again, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." I mean, isn't it just like God to turn things around like that? The most violent persecutor of the people of God becomes a Christian. What a great story. Of course, it's not a story, just a story, it's true. Right? And so he's saying, "I am the least of all the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." But verse 10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." See, he experienced the saving grace of God, right? But then also, he's like, "The grace of God has helped me do everything I've been doing." And that's what he says. He says, he's saying this, "On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them." So there was an effort, obviously, he put forth, but it was infused with the grace of God. Infused with the grace of God. So we need to keep these things in mind when Paul tells Timothy, and by implication us, when he calls us to do something, be strong in the grace. I saw, when I was at Starbucks here, that was last week. Well, it could have been any week. But and I walked out the door, and on the license plate, you know, you always try to figure out what the things mean. This one was very clear. It was Rogue One, okay? And if you don't know Rogue One, that's the latest Star Wars, right, movie. And then it says, around the little license plate holder thing, it says, "The Force is strong in this family," you know? We need a little one that says, "The grace of God is strong in this family." Be strong in the grace of God, right? We need to be families and people that are strong in the grace of God, who are experiencing his help every day. You know, realizing that we're called to a task that's way beyond us. Way beyond us. I mean, that whole love thy neighbor thing, that's tough. Have you ever worked with somebody that's just a total nincompoop? Of course, that's being said about you too. But, you know, I mean, I was saying, with someone who's difficult. You know, you're difficult to someone. I'm difficult to someone. You know, that's how it works. But loving people, taking the love of Christ into the workplace, into your neighborhood, that's going to require grace. God's grace. We have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Constantly remembering God's grace is available to us. Think about it like this. Think about God's grace like as a pitcher that's totally full and it's just barely it's leaning over. It's just ready to pour into you. It's always available. Okay? And we need to seek him and just, you know, at times when you're not, when you're feeling weak, you just got to shoot up what I call those Nehemiah prayers, like he kind of probably uttered in his mind in the presence of the king. "Lord, help! What do I say? What do I do? How do I approach this situation?" Right? God's grace is sufficient for us. I like the words that Paul says, and I don't remember the reference, but where he says, who is adequate for these things? I'm like, boy, do I live there like 99% of the time. I can't do this, God. I can't do this thing that you called me to do. Let me just tell you what a fraidy cat I was this week. When I went, I was at Sam's Club. You know, I hang out by Sam's Club and Starbucks. Okay, that's pretty much where I live. If you want to find me, I'll be in one of those two places. All right? And so I was getting gas at Sam's Club early in the morning. And I pulled up to the thing. What's it called? Oh, the gas pump. And I pull up there. And then I'm starting to put my gas in. There's a lady pulled in right behind me. And you know, the people that staff the Sam's Club gas thing are great. They engage you in conversation. I mean, at least that's been my experience, okay? And so he just says hi. He says hello to me. But then he goes and carries on a conversation with the lady behind me. And I couldn't help but overhear, it's just us, early in the morning, she's right behind me, that she just moved to Columbus, you know, and he was asking about all this stuff. So when that happened, in my mind was like, you need to give her an invite. And of course, in my mind is like, no, you don't. Yeah. I mean, you ever had that happen? No, you don't. Like, you know, and I'm like, well, okay, but maybe I don't have any. Yeah. Because I'm thinking, you know, so once I start, you know, this is totally overthinking it, but this is really what happened. This is what happens in here, okay? Is that I was thinking, you know, that's going to be so weird. I overheard. I like, you know, what do they call that? Eavesdropped. You know, that's just wrong, you know? So anyway, so I said, okay, I probably don't have one, so I'll go to the glove box and look. Guess what was like hanging right out? I opened it up, boop, there it is. I'm like, okay, here it is. Got to walk through that door now. You know, I could drive a truck through it, right? So I just said, and it was so simple. You know, I just said, hey, you know, I overheard, you know, that you new to town, and I just want to invite you to our church. You know, would love to have you come sometime. You know, that was it. It was so hard, you know. It was not worthy of the situation, but I just say that to say, you know, I'm a fraidy cat sometimes, but by God's grace, he helped me. Amen? He can help you. And whatever it is, you know, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we get that. We grow strong in that as we learn to lean into God and rely on him. And that reliance comes through crying out. It comes through getting God's word in our heart. I mean, there's all different ways where we grow strong in the grace of God, okay? So just want you to be thinking about this, and this is how God wants us to live our lives, strong in the grace. Let it be said of us that, you know, this family is strong in the grace of God, you know? All right, so in order to remain true to God's gospel, we're going to need to be ongoing empowerment from him. Second thing that we see here is that God is looking for faithful and teachable people who are willing to teach others what it means to follow Jesus. That's a mouthful. You want to get a good laugh sometime, look back at old Christian books like over 100 years ago. Look at their titles. They're like paragraphs. The titles! Okay? It's crazy. So I don't feel so bad when I got a point like this. So God's looking for, where are we getting this from? We're getting this from 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2, right? Which we read and says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. And he says, now teach these things to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You know, this is really like, in a sense, like a relay race going on here, isn't it? Spiritually speaking, it's a relay race. I ran in the, what would it be now? The 4x400. 4x400? Yeah. That's a mile relay. Is that what it is? I'm old. It was called the mile relay when I was in it. I don't, you know. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I had to run one lap, right, around. And so, you know, it's you know, and the key is the exchange, the exchanging of the baton. It has to happen within a certain distance, and there are rules for the exchange. Yeah, you bobble the baton and it goes in the ground. That's it, man. That's it. Right? Okay, so it's one thing to lose a race. It's another thing for us as a church to drop the baton of the gospel and not pass it on to the next generation, okay, or to another person. And so this is what God's plan is for the church to continue generation to generation. Is it is a life-on-life process here, and he lays it out. He's saying, you know what? You got to look for people who are teachable, okay? He says, Timothy, you look for people who are faithful and teachable. They're trustworthy, or meaning faithful. That they're trustworthy, that they're going to guard the gospel I've given you, and that they're teachable. Because they need to be teachable, because they're going to have to be able to teach others to do the same thing. Right? Sometimes in my classroom at Columbus State, I always have fun doing this. People kind of freak out a little bit, but in my calculus, I did this. Calculus class, I'll teach them something as a group, you know, just me, the talking head, showing them how to do something. And then I'll give them a problem to do on their own. And then I'll say, okay, now, you turn to the person next to you, and you teach them how you did it, step by step. And the reason I do that is because, well, if you can't do that, you know, then you need some help, right? And I try to supply it. But if you can do that, the chances are, at least if you're teaching them right, they've got it, right? And they're able to pass it on to another person, right? That's how you really know when they've got it. How many times, I mean, I'd be a rich man if every time I heard a student say, I got it when we were in here, but when I'm at home, I don't know what I'm doing, right? I truly would be a rich man. And so that just kind of tells you that, you know, that's why I take time. I mean, you don't care about my pedagogy, but that's why I take time in the classroom to say, you show somebody else how to do it. So this is an aspect here of the gospel. Guarding the gospel is we have to pass it on. In order for you to pass it on, you've got to have a good handle on it, right? We need to know what the Scripture says accurately, not just what other people say about it, but we ourselves have to have conviction about not only what the gospel is, but how to live the Christian life, how to follow Jesus, so that we can pass it on. And so we need to be on the lookout for individuals who are open to being teachable about the things of God, right? And by the way, it's not always this thing where you're like, you know, you're above somebody else and you know everything and you're like the puppy dog leading them around. No, because when you are helping somebody else follow Jesus and know what that means and growing in that, you grow as much as they will, okay? Now, by the way, when I look at these verses too, I also think there's a certain aspect of this that is he's really keying on to the leadership of the church, okay? I mean, I think there is general application here, but I think really he's drilling down to saying, listen, you, Timothy, you need to find people who can be raised up as pastors, who can handle the Word of God, and who will be faithful to it. I think there is definitely an aspect to this instruction that's more pinpointed towards leadership in the church. And so we need to make sure as a church, and you need to be praying for the church, right, that God will raise up leaders here, right? Raise up teachers, people who will be faithful, committed to the Scriptures, faithful to the gospel as handed down to us by the apostles. We have to do that. My wife, when she was being trained in this method of teaching reading to dyslexia students, had to fly down to Atlanta, because you can only take the training to get certified in person with the person that created it. I mean, you talk about intimidating. This was intimidating. And you have to sit, there's probably about a dozen people, maybe 15, you know, I don't know exactly, about 15, not that many. And you had, and this, and the master teacher, the woman that created this, is pretending to be the dyslexic student, and she knows all the tricks. And it's just, you know, and so they had this setup so that you had to do this in front of all these people, and so that the master teacher had to know that she could sign off that, yes, you are qualified to now teach somebody else. So you think about that with the gospel, right? We need to pass on our faith according to the scriptures, right? And we need life on life. This is not just a transfer of information, okay? I mean, we can create online courses for that, and there are. Okay, but life on life is the way God wants it to be, okay? There's nothing wrong with learning in other avenues. I'm just saying, when we look at this, you know, there's such a, so much at stake. We need to be with people, you know? And so, like, you know, what was it like when I was a new believer? I was with my, what would be my future brother-in-law, all the time. We hung out together, you know? We played basketball together. I mean, he tried, but, well, no. He would say that. He would totally say that. That's why I can get away with that. But, you know, so Jesus, if you read the scriptures, you know, you find this verse. It says that Jesus appointed the 12 so that they might what? You might know? Be with him. Be with him. Be with him. Who's with you? Hey, if you're a parent, take your kids with you. You know, so many life lessons are not like just around a structured Bible study, right? But as it says in Deuteronomy 6, as we walk by the way, right? All of that. As we go along. All my kids are being kicked out of my house. You know, I'm an empty nester practically. We're taking Megan back to school today. Just us and the three dogs. They're with us all the time. You know? But, you know, we got to be with people, not because we're anybody great, but because God wants us to be that way. We need community, but we also need to pass on our faith and intentionality to it. Now, these images that he gives us, the mindset that's going to help us, there's three aspects to this, okay? The mindset needed to do what God calls you to do. So whether you're Timothy receiving the instruction to, you know, You need to multiply your life, Timothy, into other leaders, right? Whether it's us as a church being tasked with guarding the gospel, you know, by passing on the baton, or maybe it's just something where God's, you know, God's wanting you to do something. There are three mindsets that are going to help us here, and he gives us these images, these word pictures. Like it says in verses 3 and 4, he says, "Endure suffering along with me, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Verse 4, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And so the point here is this, that the soldier, their goal, unless they like their life to be miserable, right, Nathan, will want to please their commanding officer. I mentioned that because he's in the military, right? So, you know, you want to please your commanding officer. And that's what a good soldier does. So how is this going to help us? Well, it's going to help us with the task at hand of multiplying and staying faithful to the true gospel, but also in whatever God calls you to do. You need to realize, you know, however you do that, you need to do it in a way that's pleasing to God. That's pleasing to God. You know, there was a verse here that came to my mind. Ephesians 5, I think it's 10. I put Ephesians 5:0, but that's quite impossible. I know, that's the, I don't know, verse 0. Wow. It's like the original verse. Yeah. So we'll back up to the latter part of verse 8 there in Ephesians 5, where it says, Ephesians 5, walk as children of light. And then in this translation I have in parenthesis, it says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Then verse 10, it says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I can't think of, you know, one other little cliff note on the Christian life than that. Could you? Try to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. Well, how do I learn that? Well, by learning what he explicitly says in the Word, right? There are so many things that are plain in the Scriptures about what pleases God, right? So he says, try to learn what's pleasing to God. So it's not just in the what we're supposed to do, which is, you know, multiply our lives into, as a church, we should be multiplying leadership and so on and being faithful to the gospel, but how we do that. We need to do it in a way that's pleasing to God. But it also tells us that, you know, as a soldier, you know, you're not concerned with all this other stuff, right? You're concerned with what your commanding officer says you should be concerned about. All the other stuff will just have to take care of itself, or it doesn't matter, right? And so this soldier metaphor is a mindset that we need, that we look to do what is pleasing to God. And the only way we're going to do that is by getting familiar with the Scripture. Learn what is pleasing to God. Another mindset is like an athlete who competes according to the rules. Well, it's interesting that, you know, when if you look back on some of the history of this, that way back originally in the Olympic Games, that you would have to say an oath in front of the statue of Zeus and say that for the last 10 months you've been following the training rules. You'd make an oath. You'd swear to it. I followed the rules in training. And so there is a way in which we're to live out our lives, right? A way that's it needs to be pleasing to God. But, you know, we need to realize too, when we're going to live out this kind of faith that multiplies, that gets, you know, is up close and personal in people's lives and one another's lives and other people's lives, if we're going to live that way, it's going to be difficult. It's going to take discipline, right? And the athlete, in all their preparations, is very disciplined, right? Very disciplined, right? I mean, you talk to some of these people that are in these sports, I mean, like professionally, or especially like when you talk about the Olympics, I mean, everything they eat is measured, is, you know, they're denying themselves all kinds of pleasures in the food arena, right? And it's just, no, there's got to say no to that because I want this. I want to do this, right? And so when we're following the Lord to whatever he's calling us to do, whether it's discipleship here or something else in your life, you're going to have to say no to some other things, right? Because, you know, Lord knows you can't say yes to everything, right? And that's sometimes that means discerning the good from the best, right? I mean, as a Christian, aren't there so many good things you could do? Aren't there? I mean, yeah. There are so many great things. And we each need our own discernment from the Lord to discipline, to say no to this and no to this and yes to this, whatever that might be. Competing according to the rules. You know, you want to succeed, you got to obey God's rules. But let's make no mistake, right? You become a Christian not by following the rules, right? We just laid that out during communion. You don't become a Christian by following the rules, because that would be a setup for failure. Nobody would ever make it, right? No matter how hard we try. But when we become a Christian, then we want to look at the things that God has laid out in Scripture as how to live our lives. And, you know, whether you call them rules or whatever you want to call them, they're for our good, right? And so we do need to run this race of the Christian life in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, like it says there, as a good soldier would do. And as an athlete here, right, who's going to compete according to the rules, and it's going to take discipline. Each of these has an element of hardship to it, right? A soldier does not, well, at least should not, expect an easy life, right? They should not expect that things are just going to go, you know, like they were living at home, you know, playing your Xbox. It's just, no, it's not going to be like that. There's going to be some hardship. There's going to be some difficulty. Just like the athlete, it's going to take discipline. It's going to be hard. But there's each one of these has a prize too, you know. The soldier wins the victory, right? The athlete, if he operates according to the rules, wins the prize. And lastly here, it's like a hardworking farmer. In verse 6, he says, "And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor." Does anybody here grow up on a farm? Or did some level of farming? Yeah. So I lived out in a farming community, and all my friends grew up on farms. So when I was at their house, what were we doing? Farm work. Before we could do anything else, you know. And by the way, I think pigs smell the worst of all the animals. I just got to say. Okay, so just if you ever wanted to know, that's the worst. Okay? Because I've cleaned out many a hog pen in my day. All right. Anyway, that has no importance whatsoever. But a hardworking farmer. Farmers are up early and have long hours. You know, it's just the way of a farmer. Okay, they're up early and they have long hours. It's constant work, plowing, planting, right, weeding or disking or spraying or whatever it is, and then hopefully reaping, right? And then you got to store it. It's just one thing after the next. I mean, it's hard work. Farming is hard work. But you know what? There's regular disappointment too with farming, right? Frost, disease, pests, all kinds of stuff. You're not in control of the water coming down. Now, you might have an irrigation system if you'd be lucky enough to be next to a river or something. But, you know, but there's so much of that relates to the Christian life. When you get it, when you get that God wants you to invest your life in other people, it's just like farming. There's going to be some wonderful times, and there's going to be some doggone disappointing times. Just like the farmer. And you know what? There's a lot of work. Sometimes, I mean, you just hope to God that when you're a farmer that, you know, he's bringing the rain, because you're planting the seed, you're doing everything that you can do, but you cannot control the environmental factors whatsoever. You know what? And this is going to happen for you. If you're not already doing this, if you decide to take your life and live it for the investment of others, this gospel living, this passing on, right? You will invest in people. You'll put your life into them, and some of it won't pan out whatsoever, but some of it will. Some of it will. It's not up. The results are not up to you and I. We're supposed to love people, share the gospel, pour our lives into them, and the results are up to God. Totally. Totally up to God. That's hard work. It's hard work. It really is. But you know what? There's a payday, right? The farmer, it says there, ought to be, as it says, the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. When you're there, when you've invested in a life by God's grace and you've poured in it and you see the fruit of following Jesus, or you see someone put their faith in Jesus for the first time and you see them and you're like, praise God. That is being able to be a part of seeing the fruit of your labor. Now, sometimes it's way on down the line. Sometimes you never, ever see it yourself. And this, that point is why I wrote a letter to the church I grew up in a couple of years ago. You may recall, I read that letter here. And I wrote it to the church I grew up in. Had no idea what the situation was there. But it turned out that God used it to be a real blessing to them. But I just simply want to say, you know what? Your labor was not in vain. I was a total screw-up in high school, almost a crash and burn my freshman year at Ohio State. But hey, God showed up. And you guys were a part of that. You see? But sometimes we never get to see that, okay? And we just have to trust the Lord, right? That, hey, we're doing what he asks us to do. We're pouring our life into other people. We're giving our lives for other people. We're giving up our time to be with them. We're going into places that are not in our comfort zone to love on people, to demonstrate the love of Christ, but to share the love of Christ, to share the message, right? That's hard work. That's challenging. And you may never know, though, what happens with the CG plant. If they go on, they move away. You know, who was it? Was it Tom Short? Somebody got saved by a gospel tract that was in a mud puddle. Who does that? Some person handing out gospel tracts somewhere. You know, they may have gone home one day totally discouraged, saying, you know what? Nobody's going to read that. You know, Tom Short did. Holy mackerel. That encourages me. I hope it does you. Just to realize, you know what? We're going to end with this one verse. This verse got me. I didn't go to the pastor's conference with the Great Commission this year because of our missions trip was right on the heels of it. But I listened to, John Hopper says, you got to listen to this message, Greg. It's like, okay. You know, when Pope John says it, you do it. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have a pope around here. I probably shouldn't have said that. Strike that. All right. It's too late. Oh, man. You should see it when the pastors get together. It's just total mayhem. You know what? I should really get a bigger Bible. Okay. 1 Corinthians. I promise this is the last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All the way towards the end there, verse 58-ish. Okay. This is a tough task. The church has been given an impossible task, don't you think? Humanly speaking. We're to guard this gospel. It's going to be tough. It's going to take discipline for us to stay on point. We could do so many other things than discipleship. Really. And I just want us to see, you know, he gives us the soldier illustration, the athlete, the farmer. He's laying it out. He's not sugarcoating it. This 1 Corinthians 15:58, this really encourages me, and it should you, in the task we have before us that God calls us to do. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because he says, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You're not wasting your life. Everything else around us tells us that you know, do this thing over here. Don't do the discipleship. You know, don't worry about passing your life on to somebody else. Don't do that. That's a time waster. Let's do ranching. You know, stick them in a room. We'll all try to disciple them in groups. You know, whatever. I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But I'm saying this is what the Lord laid out for us. I think it's a great plan. Who am I to say if there's a better one? Life on life. Down in the trenches. With all of our muck. Getting in each other's lives. Takes time. It's hard, but boy, is it great too. He says, knowing that your labor is not in vain. We got to hang, let's hang that over the door, you know, tattoo it on your head if you like tattoos. I don't know. Something, because we got to remind ourselves. We have to remind ourselves that this is worth it. Because there's so many hard days. Just personally, right? Not to mention being with someone else, right? But God, this is the way God works. This is how we ensure that the gospel stays true to the apostolic truth that we were handed down. This is how we know. It's like that dyslexia teacher to my wife. I want to know that you got it. You and me, mano y mano. I'm going to make sure you know it so that you can pass it on. The real thing, right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this encouraging word here. Be steadfast, immovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Lord, we thank you so much that by your grace, by the power that you supply, by your grace, the grace that we need for service, the grace that we need for loving others, the grace that we need, Lord, you supply it, an endless supply for us to do everything you've called us to do, whether it's be a dad, be a husband, wife, son or daughter, whatever our vocations are, in those places to live out our lives in front of a watching world. We need your help, God. We need your boldness. But thank you, Lord, as we admit our weakness to you and we cry out to you for your help, you deliver. You deliver the power for us, Lord. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. And so, Lord, help us to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us to not lose sight of the importance of looking for ones who are open to learning about you. Some call those people a person of peace, someone who's welcoming to Jesus, who's open to Jesus. Lord, thank you that you were that way with us. You put people in our lives, and we want to do the same for others. And Lord, when we have a setback, when someone's not responsive or someone walks away from you for a time, Lord, help us to know that you say that our toil is not in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.